Well, it is the first week in May, which means that we are on this fifth month of the year, returning back to the book of Acts. Those of you who might be joining us new today, what we've been doing this year is the first Sunday of every month, we've been going through the book of Acts. So the whole year is based off of the book of Acts, and then after that message, we take that subject down the rest of the month. So whatever subject that Acts message brings up, then we're going to continue through the rest of the month. So if you want to join us, we're going to be in Acts chapters 10 and 11. That is the fifth book in your New Testament. So if you find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's the next book after that, Acts. And you can go on and turn to chapter 10. And as you're turning, I'm going to catch you up to where we are. In January, we started off, and if you guys notice our boards here, I can explain those at a later time. I don't know if I've got quite the time today, but we've got our heroes over here. That came from January. And January, we talked about how in Acts chapters 1 through 4, how God empowered the church. And how God empowered the church through, we talked about how the Holy Spirit came on the believers, and the Holy Spirit empowered them. We talked about how Peter at Pentecost, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit and he shared the power of the gospel message. And the church has been empowered by the power of the gospel message. And then we see that 3,000 were baptized that day. 3,000. The church was empowered by numbers. Numbers, growth, expansion. Then in chapter 3, we see that Peter and John, they were on their way up to the temple and they saw a crippled beggar. And so Peter heals him and that creates a ruckus, and that opens the door for Peter to share, and he shares the gospel story, because that's what the church was empowered with, was the gospel story. And we see once again the church is empowered with growth and numbers. They go from 3,000 to 5,000. Then the religious leaders show up and they take Peter and John and they throw them in jail and save them for the next day. The next day bring them out for questioning and they tell them, hey, you guys got to quit this. You got to cut it out. You got to quit preaching and teaching in Jesus' name. And Peter and John had boldly said, we cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. Which takes us into February. In February, we covered the last half of chapter 4 minus a few verses. And chapter 7 in Acts. And Joby talked about boldness. And from that, we got into a whole month on prayer. And we talked about how the church was seen praying boldly, and they were praying for boldness. And that was combined with chapter 7 of how we saw the fruition of those prayers, that the prayers for boldness were shown through individuals like Stephen, who boldly stood before the Sanhedrin and spoke boldly about Scripture and about where they stood, what side of Scripture they stood on. And he was killed. He was murdered because of his boldness. Then the next month, in March, we went back and we finished the last little bit of chapter 4 and went into chapter 5. And that's where our money series came from in the whole series, the whole month of March. Because the beginning of the money series, starting in Acts chapter 4 and 5, we looked at the contrast between Barnabas, who was very generous, and he represented what a lot of the church was like at the very beginning, that Barnabas was very generous, and he was contrasted against Ananias and Sapphira, who were selfish, and then they were killed, struck down by God. It wasn't by God's people. It was by God himself. And we see the difference between being partially in or being all in. You guys remember that message? Good job. Then last month, we talked about being April Fools all month, and that's where our board is today. And we actually already have a couple badges that are going to be going up on that board. Kelly had so many, she couldn't get them all done this week. She put up 40-some badges, and she's still got 19 more to make. So keep going, church. She can get a helper. Don't think about that. Yeah, give yourself a hand. It's awesome. So that's good news. We're moving. We're working. That's going to be good news for you today and a reflection of today's message. So last month, we talked about April Fools, and we talked about at the very beginning of the month how in Acts chapter 9, how God took an enemy of the church, Saul from Tarsus, and he confronted him, and he brought him in to be one of the leaders of the church. We also saw how God went in and he interrupted Ananias' life. And we're not talking about Ananias from chapter 5, because he was dead. All right, we're talking about a different Ananias, an obedient Ananias. And God interrupted his life, and he saw that interruption as an invitation. Yes, was there only one person? And she's only gotten like 3 hours sleep. Ananias saw the interruption as an invitation. And he was instrumental then in baptizing Paul, the famous Paul. And all that took place in chapter 9 of Acts. Which brings us to chapter 10. Yes, 10 comes after 9. You guys, come on now. First service is more weight than you guys. I kind of started powering in now. Was that too much? Was that overwhelming? Okay, because I'm throttling up. I told you guys. Midway through the year, we got a lot to get done this year. God's got some plans for this church. Chapter 10, we're introduced to a centurion named Cornelius, and I'm going to kind of lay out today a little bit, because today you're going to have to be with it. I need you with it. Because what I want to do is I'm going to share the story of what happens. Then we're going to kind of move away from the story and look at something different that has to do with the story. And at the end, we're going to take notes, and you're going to have to remember all of the stuff that happened in the first 20 minutes of the message. Can you do it? Okay, if you can't, it's tough. It's too late to rewrite. It's already there. We're done with the writing. So we're going to get going. So here's the story of Cornelius, chapter 10, chapter 11 of Acts. If you want to follow along, you can. We'll have various scriptures up on the wall there. Chapter 10, we're introduced to a centurion named Cornelius. And Cornelius was a Gentile. And I have something to represent Cornelius here. Here we go. Got a little hand. Okay. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. I want you guys to remember that. That's one of the things I'm trying to give you guys some notes to remember things. He gave generously, which we covered that in March. And he was God-fearing. And he gave those in need and he prayed to God regularly. So I knew we covered that. I was looking for that in the scripture. One day he had a vision, and an angel of the Lord came and said to him, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering to God." So his prayers and his generosity were seen as an offering. Faith plus deeds equals what? Worship. Faith plus deeds, worship. He saw his prayer. It was an offering. It was worship. He saw his generosity. It was an offering. It was worship. "Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea." Some more first century GPS, you know, very specific directions. In fact, those directions sound a lot like the kinds you get in Kentucky. Go down the road, you'll see the barking dog. If the dogs aren't barking, you got to go down to the next one. The barking dog, take a right. Okay, you guys, you've been to Kentucky. You know that's how they give directions down there. So he gives directions, and so Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier, and so we're going to represent those by a couple feet because they, you know, went walking around. And so he called those guys, and he said, "Hey, I need you." He told them all about what happened, and he sent them to go see Peter in Joppa. Now the following day, so these guys are heading over on their way to Peter. Where did Peter go? The following day, Peter. Isn't that fitting for Peter? Just a mouth. That's what he is. So Peter, the following day, Peter was about to have lunch. He was waiting on his lunch to get ready, and he was just so hungry, he started falling off into this trance. How many of you guys can relate? Monday morning, 11:30, and you just fall into a trance. And he starts dreaming, and he has this vision. He has this dream about food. It just makes sense. I'm hungry, and I'm dozing off, and I'm starting to get into a trance, and he dreams about food. And here's what he saw. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." That's a man verse. I like it. Kill it and eat it. Go for it. Now, this is one point in Scripture where I actually kind of lose a little respect for Peter. Because he says, "Surely not. What? No, do it, do it, do it." He said, "Do it, do it. Just go kill him and eat him. Don't ask questions." But I understand he's being respectful because he was a Jew. He came from being a Jew, and he didn't know what Jewish laws carried over into Christianity, into the new covenant. And so he was like, "Surely not. I've never eaten anything that's unclean or impure." And then the voice spoke to him a second time, and I want you to take note of this. "Do not call anything impure that God has made what? Clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back into heaven. As Peter was pondering the meaning of this dream, the men from Cornelius arrived. And they called for Peter, and while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit told him, which I think is pretty interesting, an angel of the Lord spoke to Cornelius, because Cornelius wasn't a Christian yet. The Spirit spoke to the Christian. The Spirit spoke to Peter, because Peter had the Spirit. Kind of cool. That's just extra. So the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. Go downstairs. Don't hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. So Peter goes down and greets them, and they tell him what happened and who they are, and he lets them come in and stay the night. And so the next day, they head off to go see Cornelius. And so it's Peter and the guys that Cornelius had sent, and I believe six others, and so they head on over here to go visit Cornelius. And so when they get there, Cornelius tells Peter about the visit from the angel that he had had, and that he had gathered all his friends and family, and they were there waiting for Peter, and they wanted to hear what Peter had to say to them. So then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show what? We talked about that recently, didn't we? Showing favoritism. God doesn't show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. Who do what? Fear him and do what is right. File that away. I'm helping you guys. All right? Because you're going to need this later. Who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And then Peter, once again, he starts sharing. He's the mouth. He starts sharing about the gospel story of Jesus, about how he came to earth and he died for our sins. He was crucified on the cross and he was buried. And then 3 days later, by the power of God, he was raised from the dead. And then while Peter was sharing with them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And Peter was astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even Gentiles. Because, see, there's a huge separation between Gentiles and Jews. And Jews, even the Jews that were Christians, they believed that Jesus was just for the Jews, to save the Jews, because they were God's chosen people. So these two chapters are enormous in the history of our church, in the book of Acts. The church turns a huge corner in these two chapters. So then, after he sees that this has happened, then he says, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And so we see there that some people bring this up and they'll say, well, Cornelius got the Holy Spirit without baptism. Yeah, but look at what Peter says about it. He's like, wait a minute. And he's scratching his head. This isn't the normal way it happens. Obviously, you guys need to get baptized. And God's showing them, hey, Gentiles are allowed to get the Holy Spirit too. Don't stop. Don't keep them from getting baptized. Here you go. I'll give you a sign. You know, here's your sign. And so they got the Holy Spirit. And so Peter says, I guess we can baptize them too. So it wasn't the norm for that to happen. This was the exception, and an exception to prove a point to teach Peter a lesson. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, it'd be nice if I could just start doing that. People that I know weren't saved, and just, you, get baptized now. Let's go up now. So, but that's, he ordered they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them a few more days. So Peter did, and then after he went back to Jerusalem, so we got Peter, he's the mouth, taken back off to Jerusalem. So once he gets back to Jerusalem, then he gets scolded for eating with the Gentiles, for staying with them, for associating with them. He gets in trouble. He gets the, you know, because it was a no-no for Jews to associate with Gentiles. And even though these were Jews that were Christians, they were still hanging on to their Jewish legalities, to their Jewish laws or Jewish customs. And so for them, it was wrong to even eat with a Gentile, much less spend the night with them and spend time with them and days with them. But then Peter goes on, and actually I need to bring up some ears here. Okay, so they had heard that Peter had gone and spent some time with Gentiles. So they'd heard that, and they chastised him for it. And so Peter tells them about everything that had happened, and about the vision, and about the food, and about the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit while he was sharing the gospel story with them, and about how they had seen the angel of the Lord. And so Peter says this. He says, so if God gave them the same Spirit that he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think I could oppose God? Who was I to think that I could oppose God? All right, think. I love that. Look what happened. When they heard this, they had no further objection and praised God, saying, so then, God has granted even Gentiles repentance unto life. Notice how quickly they change. You know, I wish it were that easy today to shut up the critics. In fact, that's going to be my line. I told first service, that's my line from here on out. Now, I need to make sure I'm in line with what God wants me to do. But if I'm doing something God wants me to do and you're going to come and you're going to criticize it, I'm going to tell you, who am I to oppose what the Lord has called me to do? And that's going to be my line. So if you come up to me and I'm solid and I know that this is what God wants me to do, then that's what I'm going to be bringing to you. So, but they listened. And I thought that was great because at first they heard what had happened. And they weren't happy about it. But then they listened as Peter told them the story. And they were like, man, that's cool. God's saving the Gentiles. God's going crazy. He's going nuts. Thousands of years. And now he's reaching out to everybody. So much goes on in these chapters. And we see so many different people working together for the same God, the same faith, under the same head, which is Christ. Filled with the same Spirit. And the church expands to the Gentiles. I want to read a longer section here to you. Acts chapter 11 says, now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen, as you know, Stephen, after Stephen's death, the church is scattered. That as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's, what is that? The Lord's hand. See, we're scriptural today. Even though we're playing with toys, it's scriptural. The Lord's hand was with them. And where was I at? The Lord's hand. Way up there. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the, yes, those in Jerusalem. And of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent for Barnabas. They sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw, we're right in line here. He saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord and to their hearts. And he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. I don't know why Saul's a nose. I just ran out of body parts. So Saul gets the nose. I have no deep spiritual meaning. The rest of them fit really well. But Saul gets the nose. So I could have made something up there, but it would have been stretching things. So he went looking for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great numbers of people. All of these different parts came together. And we see how they all worked together. And you guys know this is coming. All right, so we got, who is that? Cornelius starts it off. And the angel of the Lord appears to Cornelius. Says, hey, you need to send for Peter. And so he gets a couple of his servants and one of his soldiers. And they become the feet to go over and seek out Peter, who is the mouth. And so they find Peter. And so Peter and all these guys, they go back to Cornelius' house, and then Peter goes to tell the Jews about it because they had heard about it, and then they listened to Peter, and then they were pretty okie-dokie with things. And then we see that the people from Cyrene and Cyprus, is that the two places? Anyway, you guys know what I'm talking about. They, instead of just going to the Jews, they went to the Greeks, and the hand of God was with them. So we've got that there. And so then Barnabas, who saw things, and he went looking for things, he found Saul, who became Paul. And we have a full potato head. Lord, forgive me for comparing your church to a potato head. He's pretty goofy, isn't he? Kind of good resemblance sometimes of the church. Now, as we look at a potato head there, I want to read a passage of Scripture. And the Scripture's not going to be on the screen. And I don't even want you to turn to it in your Bibles. If you want to turn to it later today, the Scripture's in the bottom of your bulletin. But I want to read to you this scripture, and I want you to look at the potato head, and as hard as it may be, I want you to take in the deep spiritual truth by looking at this potato head with interchangeable, you know, body parts here. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged. Who has arranged? God has arranged. God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. We need to pay attention to that. Just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or the head say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. And those that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty. Fig leaves and such, you know, as time's gone on. While our present parts need no special, while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it so that there should be no division. Let me, one more time, just in case, you know. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Who thought the potato head could be so serious? I love this illustration because Paul's saying, you know what? All these different parts, you know, if they end up in the wrong place, then it just looks, I mean, you just got like, You got like Picasso church. And a lot of churches exist and function that way. And it's not healthy. Because the eyes are down here and they're saying, I can't smell a thing. Because your eyes. I can't hear anything. Or I can't see anything. Because you're an ear. You're meant to hear things, not to look at things. You're supposed to be hearing. And what's a nose doing up here? You're not a hat. You're a nose. When the body's put together correctly, then it functions correctly. The only way the body gets put together correctly is when God puts the places where they go because he knows what part we're made for. Flip your bulletins over. Let's go and take some notes. The body of Christ is made up of many different parts. I'm gonna write that down. That's the first bullet there. The body of Christ is made up of many different parts. Let me encourage you this morning. You are one of those parts. And I want you to take that personally. So write down, I am one of those parts. I am one of those parts. And if you remember this, this is from the vision that Peter had. What God has made what? Clean is useful and valuable. Church, let me lift you up this morning. The body's made up of many parts, and you are one of those parts. Each and every one of you, you have a purpose. You have a place to play. You are a part. You're either eyes or your nose or your ears or maybe something on the inside. Maybe you're a liver or a kidney or you know something we protect and we keep hidden. You know, the body's made up of all these different parts. You are one of those parts. You are. And listen to this. What God has made clean is useful and valuable. What God has made clean, Peter was looking at Gentiles and he was saying, well, they're just Gentiles. And God's saying, no, watch. I'm going to clean them up. They're useful. They're valuable. Some of you sitting out here, you don't think you're worth. You don't think you have enough worth to be of value to the kingdom. If you've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus, you are clean. No matter how dirty your mind and your conscience may make you think you are clean because of Christ, and that makes you useful and valuable. That means that whatever part you're meant to play, God has made you able to play that part. These parts are chosen by God. We got to remember that. You don't choose your part. God chooses your part. He knows what you were made for. God knew that Peter was a mouth. God knew that Barnabas was eyes, that he was an encouraging guy. God made him that way. That was the part God intended for him. God chooses the parts, and God will lead you into your part. Say that with me. God will lead me to my part. Go on, say that with me. God will lead me to my part. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him, God will lead me to my part. Turn to your other neighbor. Encourage them. Tell them, God will lead you to your part. And I want you to write this down. Who am I to think that I could oppose God? Who am I to think that I could oppose God? You know, if God has made you to be a set of eyes and you're fighting so much to be a mouth, you want so badly to be a mouth and you're just not getting anywhere, who are you to oppose God? You're a set of eyes, man. Go and be the best set of eyes you can be and let the mouth be the mouth. Otherwise, you're messing everything up. God has chosen what part you're going to be in the body. He knows. He made you. He gifted you. God will lead you to your part. And when he puts it on your heart, who are you to oppose God? Who are you to tell God what you will and will not do? To write this down. God made me for a purpose. I think I made that in first. Yeah, made that in first person. God made me for a purpose. Be the person, the purpose will come. Let that sink in. God made you for a purpose. So many people go chasing for the purpose and they miss being the person. If you be the person, slow down, calm down, just be who God made you to be, the purpose will reveal itself. Too many people, we try to be other pieces. That's the first place where we mess up. You need to just figure out who you are and just be that person. And then the purpose will show itself. God made you to be who you are. Don't chase the purpose. Be the person. The purpose will come. We get it backwards. I think Jesus said something like, those who try to gain their life, they'll lose it. But those who lose their life for me will gain it. Same principle. Don't go chasing after all these things. He said, all these pagans, they chase after all these things. But do what? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will take care of themselves. Just be the person. Seek God and be the person. And the purpose will come. The purpose will reveal itself. Being the person involves active waiting. This is tough. This is a really tough part. Active waiting. And the two pieces underneath this come straight from the scripture that we read earlier. And I tried to bring notice to them. And if you missed it, then you can go back Acts chapters 10 and 11, if I can get all that out at one time. You can go back and you can search for these things, but I guarantee you're in there. So here are the active waiting pieces. We see these through the way Cornelius acted and through the way that Peter confirmed the way that they were acting. And the first one is fear God and do what is right. Active waiting. You know, you might not know what part you are. You might know what part you are, but you might not know your purpose. Sometimes that's messed up because someone else is in the wrong place. And you're thinking, well, I just can't be the eyes because there's someone already in the eye slot. They're a nose. They have no business being in the eye slot, you know? So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Well, that's disturbing. I can't stand Picasso church there. So we're going to come back to that. But be the person. The purpose will come. Being the person involves active waiting. That means fear God and do what is right. It means pray and be generous. No matter what part you are, you can fear God. No matter what part you are, you can pray to God. No matter what part you are, you can be generous. No matter what part you are, you can do right. Yes? You don't have to sit on your butt and wait for God to come show a big light in the sky and have something tell you this is what you're supposed to do, so and so. No, actively wait. Wait. Don't be stupid and get in the places where you shouldn't be. But do things while you're waiting. And these are some things that you can do. You fear God, you respect him, you honor him, you revere him. You do what is right. Don't just do nothing, do what is right. Pray, be generous. These are general things that everyone can do. I want you to pull out the sheet out of your bulletin. The half sheet long ways. This is a list of a lot of our ministries that we have in our church. And as Joby said earlier, our church is going through some changes. And God's moving. Some things are changing. And we're just trusting in God. Everyone's trusting in God. And so this is a list of a lot of what we have going on right now. That we have the jail ministry that's not on here. That's a brand new ministry. The sign up is at the Information Center. I almost did a lap. So we're not allowed to call it what I almost said. But it's the Information Center. But the sign up is out there. But this is a list of a lot of our ministries that we have going on in the church. And I want you to look through this. And you might not have time before you leave church. You might have somewhere to go today after church. But I'd really like for you, best case scenario, is look over this and look at who's connected to something that you might be led to. And now there are two ways to look at this too. And I'll share that. But if you feel God's leading you to one of these places, I want you to circle that, put your name and phone number on it, and we've got a basket out there in the foyer. I want you to just drop it in the basket, and that's your sign up. And saying, hey, I'm ready to get involved, I'm ready to do something. Now, two different ways to go about doing this. One is if you know for a fact that God has laid something on your heart, and you know the part that you're supposed to be. And some of you might think, you know, we might have this scenario again, and you're saying, I'm pretty sure I'm a set of eyes, but there's already someone in that spot. Go on and volunteer for it. Because even though their name is there, it doesn't mean that they're the eyes. It might be a very servant-hearted nose that saw an empty hole and said, man, that needs to be filled. Someone's got to step in there and do it, and I'll do it. And they're miserable. But they're doing it because they love the Lord. They fear God. They're being generous. They're serving. They're actively waiting for God to reveal their part. You step in there and you give them a hand. Some of them might know where they need to go, but they can't go there. Because they're stuck in the job where they're doing. And you step in and say, hey, I think I'm a pair of eyes. And you're like, praise God you showed up. I've been waiting for you to get here. Pop on in here. I'll train you up. I'll get you started. Because I need to go. I need to smell some things. Because I'm a nose. That's what I got to go do. And so get involved. If God's laying something on your heart and you say, you know what? That ministry looks pretty full. We can't have too many people involved in ministries. The more people we get, the more stuff we can do. You can't look at it and say, oh, it's functioning all right. They get enough people. No, it's not about if I have to or duty oriented or anything like that. It's what has God made you to do, and that's your purpose. Go find it. Be the person. See the purpose. And be that. Now, there's another way this works out too, is that if you're one of these part, or you don't know what part you are, and you're like, well, I just don't know where I should get involved. I just don't know where I should serve. Pray and see what happens, see what opens up, or talk to some people and say, you know what, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm willing to actively wait. I'm willing to get in and help. I'm willing to give a hand, and it's not a commitment thing. If you get into something and you volunteer down in the nursery, you're not locked in for 10 years, all right? You go down there and say, you know what, I don't know what part of the body I am, but I'm willing to help out in the nursery. I'm willing to help out as an assistant teacher downstairs with Dawn in the children's department. Or I'm willing to greet people at the door. I'm willing to count people that show up on church. Or I'm willing to pass the plates. I'm willing to take care of the coffee board. All these different things. No matter what part of the body you are or what you could be the person by serving. Be the person by getting out and doing something. And two things will happen. Either one, you'll get in that position and you'll realize, you know, you go down to the nursery and you're like, okay, I'm going to try the nursery. And you realize, all right, I can mark that one off. I'm not made for the nursery at all. You're making progress. You're moving. You're starting to figure out and you're getting that self-awareness thing that David had that we talked about last week. And you're starting to learn who you are. That's good. It's not a failure. You're just finding out places where you should and shouldn't be. That's awesome. You can fail here, by the way. It's okay. You can fail. I fail a lot. I like to fail because it means I'm trying. When I'm not failing, I'm wondering, okay, I'm not perfect. So if I'm not failing, I must not be trying new things. I must not be moving forward. It's okay to fail here. You know, you're not going to get fired. We're not going to kick you out of church. Try something. If it fails, God's in charge. We'll keep going. If it makes a big dent, we'll cover up all evidence we tried, and hopefully no one else will find it. No, but get involved. What might happen is you might volunteer for the nursery because we need people in the nursery. You get down there and you realize, man, this fits me like a glove. This is perfect. And you realize, I found my part in the body. This is where I belong. You wouldn't have found it if you wouldn't have jumped out and stretched yourself a little bit. So that yellow sheet, pray about it, give some time, some thought over it, and look at that sheet. Let me connect some of this as we close up here. I'm going to invite the band on up. This, as I've said already, is a huge turning point for the church in Acts chapters 10 and 11. And you see all these people that are involved. You've got Cornelius, and you've got the servants and the soldier that went to Peter, and you've got Peter that's involved, and you've got Paul, and you've got Barnabas, and you've got the guys that are reaching out to the Greeks, and you even have the Jews. You know, this is where I use Dan first service, you know. And the critics, I don't like the critics, but sometimes you need to have them. But you need critics with ears that will listen. Now, Dan's not quite a critic, but he was a little bit of a critic yesterday of my time management. We had a big weekend with a lot of things going on, and I had some things I was wanting to do, and he was like, no. You need to focus on this. You need to get some other people to do this. You need to do this. You can go home and watch the Kentucky Derby with your family. That's an important event for our family. And so I appreciated that. I need people like that. Sometimes I don't like it, but I know I need it. And he knows I love him for it. And he was right. You need that sometimes. There are other times when Dan's like, hey, you need to slow down on this. And then I come back and I say, no, let me explain this to you. You know, who am I to oppose the Lord is basically, you know. And he's like, all right, I'm with you. Let's rock and roll. You know, and so it's times like that. So, you know, but we need all those different parts. And we need them working together. And we see them in Acts chapters 10 and 11 as they came together. And I mean, it really took the church on a completely different road. In a roller coaster, opened up the gospel for all the Gentiles. And it didn't just happen through Paul, who was called to be the minister to the Gentiles. It didn't just happen through Barnabas, who was the encourager. It didn't just happen. It happened through all these people. I want you to see that, church, because this is so important this morning. All these parts came together. And they did one thing. But the one thing wouldn't have happened without all the parts. You, each of you, are a part of the body. And we need you. God needs you. The church needs you to be in your place. If you don't know what part it is, just be the person. The purpose will show up. Actively wait. Get involved. Pray. Fear God. Do what's right. You know, sometimes doing what's right is serving in the nursery for a little while. Sometimes doing what's right is greeting people at the door. But through that process, you're going to find out who God has made you to be and what he's gifted you to do. One little section here, last few verses of chapter 11. It says, during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability. Listen to that. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. It just sums up what the whole two chapters talked about, just in that one little bitty story. Here's one big thing. There's going to be a famine. We need to take care of these people. The disciples did what each of them could do, all their little body parts working together for one purpose, one goal, one vision. Church, we're at a good turning point, and a message like today is an exciting thing. In order for us to make the turn, in order to make some of these adjustments that we have, we need the body parts. We need things in place. As Joby mentioned, there's some changes with Larry passing and going into heaven. You know, there's a lot of us that are jealous. He's up there, he's praising God with Jesus, and we're down here praising with him. Yeah, it's a lot different. I look forward to that day. But he did a lot here. He organized a lot. At the last elders meeting, we were talking about that, and we said, well, all these different areas, and we were talking about greeters. And I said, well, I'll be the staff to kind of handle the greeters. And so after that, I was thinking, man, I'm going to have to find someone to organize the greeters. And then yesterday, I had Monta Bailey come up. I asked if I could use her name. I didn't use her name first service. But Monta Bailey came up to me and she said, you know, the Lord's landing on my heart. I want to lead the greeters. I want to organize the greeters. And I was like, praise God. I didn't have to ask anybody. That's how this church can function if you're listening to God and God's leading you. God will tell you what part you need to be. She didn't even know. I mean, she knew that it was missing because of Larry, but she didn't know that that was something that had been divvied up over to me. And then, but she came to me about it. And it was just such a God thing. I want to see that happen across the board here because I know it can. And I know you guys are capable. And I think it would be so encouraging to our church to hear more and more and more and more stories like that of how people stepped up and God has told them, here's what you need to do. And we're obedient. This morning, if you're a Christian and you have your spot and you're looking at that orange sheet and you're saying, man, I can't sign up for anything else. I don't want you to sign up for anything else. Circle what you're doing and put a smiley face by it and put your name at the top of the paper and put it in there. Say, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I know what part of the body I am and I love it. That's awesome. If you're a Christian here and you don't know your part or you're looking for your part or you know your part and God's telling you to get involved and here's where you need to get involved, then during this next song, I want you to think about that. And maybe afterwards, circle whatever it is that God's laying on your heart. Put your name on the paper, name, phone number, and drop it in the basket out in the foyer. This morning, if you're not a Christian, the honest truth is you're not part of the body. And I'm not trying to, you know, be mean by excluding you. It's just the truth. The body of Christ is made up of believers. It's made up of Christians. It's made up of people who have one spirit, who have one father. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you don't have the same father as the body. But you can. That's the beauty of it. Jesus died and he rose again so that you could call God your father. And all you have to do is accept Jesus in your life. Come forward this morning, accept him, be baptized into him, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, receive forgiveness of your sins, and be part of the body. And let's all rock and roll together.